as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Monday, February 19th, 2024, in the headlines. Dominican businessman Anderson Jolly warns if Dominica fails to modernize and maintain relevance, the nation will face significant setbacks and ultimately suffer crippling consequences in the long run.
Right on cue.
St. Vincent and the Grenadines Prime Minister Dr. Ralph Gonsalves announces plans to introduce legislation aimed at regulating alcohol consumption during funeral processions and within cemeteries.
Top of the hour.
And Alexei Navalny, who was the most formidable opponent of Russian President Vladimir Putin, is reported by Russian media to have died on Friday while serving a 30-year jail term in a Russian prison in Serbia. The news is brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. Details coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Businessman Anderson Jolly has issued a stark warning, asserting that failure to prioritize modernization and relevance could have crippling consequences for Dominica in the long run, highlighting the aftermath of Hurricane Maria in 2017 as an example. Jolly pointed out to the extensive infrastructural damage caused by the storm. He noted that many buildings were not constructed to meet modern construction standards, exacerbating the devastation wrought by natural disasters.
If we don't take time to update and get relevant with everything, we are crippling ourselves and we will lose in the end. If we don't stay, I mean, it's simple. Look at what Hurricane Maria did to Dominica. Hurricane Maria blew out a lot of the houses or the roofs and damaged a lot of buildings. Well, why did that happen? It's because most of those houses were not up to construction code. So really and truly, everything, we're just waiting for the next Hurricane Maria and then the next Hurricane Maria to blow the top off anything else that is not stable and is not functional. So what we need to do is make sure that we can learn from other people or we can get ourselves up to standard as quick as possible. So our financial system, probably gonna go bye-bye. Our political system is ancient and is definitely gonna go bye-bye. Our system of purchasing is ancient and is probably gonna go bye-bye. Our system of how we ship vessels come to Dominica and they offload them off the port, that's gonna go bye-bye pretty soon. I mean, all those things.
Jolly also emphasized that failure by those in authority to modernize the area of air travel in and out of Dominica could result in the island losing out on the advantages and opportunities associated with affordable air travel, which contributes significantly to the island revenues.
Even air travel, the way that air travel works, if we don't update ourselves and make sure that we can stay in the race, it's gonna go bye-bye. Why do you think our cost is increasing so fast? Our cost is increasing fast because we're catching up to the rest of the world. And I hear a lot of Dominicans complain, you know, everybody's telling me, God, things are so expensive, it's so pricey. So, and I said, no, we still live reasonably cheap in Dominica. The problem is our salaries have not kept up. So really and truly, Dominica is quite affordable for somebody who is making money from overseas. If they come from overseas, Dominica is one of the most affordable countries in the Caribbean to live in, to eat in, to travel around in. It's still, I mean, we don't have any paid parking in this country. We don't have any, you know, big levies. We don't have any, you know, we don't have any toll bridges. We pay, you know, we don't, I mean, we have very little that we pay for here.
And that was businessman Anderson Jolly. President of the United Workers Party, Lennox Linton, highlighted a pressing concern in Dominica as being the apparent apathy among citizens towards safeguarding their own interest and participating in the governance of the country. He emphasized that it is imperative for people to unite and take action, stressing the importance of citizen engagement in effecting change. Linton pointed to the upcoming General Assembly, scheduled for February 25th, as a crucial opportunity for citizens to come together, demonstrate their commitment to enacting positive change in Dominica, and actively contribute to shaping the nation's future.
One of the issues we have in Dominica is that there is not a sufficient involvement of people in this business of taking care of their interests. And the time has come when people must get together, not just meet in the National Assembly on February, but commit that together we are going to save Dominica. So this is not just for those who will want to come to the Bayfront from wherever they are in Dominica to meet their brothers and sisters from around the country. This is for leadership of the movement for change right across the board, whether it's in United Workers Party or it's in Freedom Party or it's in Electoral Reform Coalition or it's in the civil society organizations that have an issue with where we are and want to see change. This is about all of us together, working together to confront the poor governance of this country, the threat it poses, the existentialist threat it poses to us, and what are we going to do as we go forward in 2024 to change things, to restore Dominica, to rescue our country, to save our country from where it is right now, because a lot of people don't understand.
Linton suggests that the current situation harkens back to the colonial era where control over resources was in the hands of outsiders. He laments that the people of Dominica are passively allowing their resources to be exploited without voicing their concerns or asserting their rights on the matter.
You know, we back in the colonial days where people are in control of what we have and our resources, and we're now giving away everything we have because we claim we have no money, but other people have them. So the organization is going on. The patriots are getting together. They're making plans, and they've highlighted their plans as to how they're coming down to rules and how they cut getting from rules on the 18th. On the 25th, it's going to be a big thing, a big national event. If you look at the work of Dice through the years of the Calypsonian and his songwriter Pat Heron and all of those who have collaborated with them to produce excellent Calypso material, brilliant social commentary, wonderful melodies and carnival type music that have made people happy, because now this year Dice registered Road March Krong number 6 with Mr. Abdullah and the money that he's supposed to bring to us.
Lennox Linton, a president of the United Workers Party. Martin Charles, chairman of the board of directors at the Dominica Agricultural, Industrial and Development Bank, Aid Bank, has revealed that the bank achieved a profit of $1.2 million for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023. Charles underscored the importance of maintaining focus and avoiding complacency while also expressing the bank's ongoing commitment to investing in diverse sectors of the country's economy.
For the year ended June 30th, 2023, the bank's continued efforts at management of its loan portfolio and the enhanced value of its investment properties realized an overall total comprehensive income of $1.2 million. The bank is mindful of the need to remain focused and not to become complacent. As we have moved towards the end of our strategic period, 2020 to 2024, into a new strategic period, we will continue to embrace the government's call for a national reset. With an enhanced marketing plan, the bank will strengthen its public-private sector partnerships, particularly in the areas of tourism, manufacturing, agriculture, fisheries, and investments. We will focus on increasing our market share in the areas of renewable energy and energy efficiency. And with the international airport, which is now under construction, the bank will work with clients who are interested in increasing the country's hotel stock. We will invest in culinary arts, promote the blue and green economies, and export promotion and import substitution mechanism. We will engage development and investment partners as we seek to fulfill our mandate.
Charles noted that the eight banks still faces challenges with its non-performing portfolio. He mentioned that in the upcoming financial year, the bank will undertake efforts to diminish the level of delinquency among customers.
The bank's non-performing portfolio continues to be a challenge. During the next financial year, the bank will embark on a drive to reduce the level of delinquency. Unfortunately, there are some customers who continue to be delinquent. We therefore call on you to make good your promise to settle your debts. The bank will endeavor to undertake an aggressive recovery drive. During the last annual meeting, the bank launched its upgraded website, which provides another option in accessing reliable information. This platform is dynamic in nature, and enhancements are continuously being made to address customer needs. Our employees remain our most important resource. Therefore, we will focus on organizational efficiency through adequate human resource capacity, staff training and development, and staff health and wellness. Operational efficiency will continue to be enhanced through cost containment, focus on customer service excellence, enhance internal procedures, business continuity, and continue our corporate social responsibility.
And that was Martin Charles, Chairman of the Board of Directors at the Dominica Agricultural, Industrial and Development Bank. The Dominica Water and Sewage Company Limited, DOASCO, has issued a clarification regarding statements attributed to the company's publication on DNO, dated February 6, 2024, following a meeting held in the Kalinago Territory on January 31, 2024. During the meeting, which took place on Wednesday, January 31st, 2024, representatives from DOASCO, including General Manager Mr. Bernard Etinoff, along with Parliamentary Representative for the Salibia constituency and Minister responsible for Kalinago Upliftment, Honorable Kosia Frederick, and Kalinago Chief Lawrence of Sanford, addressed residents of the Kalinago Territory. Discussions primarily focused on improving water provisions in the territory, particularly regarding the main distribution pipeline along the main road. Challenges such as damage caused by heavy equipment and interruptions in service, particularly concerning the International Airport Project and the Crawford Holt Feeder Road, were addressed. Regarding financial matters, it was highlighted that customers in the territory owe $1.9 million to DOASCO. Mr. Etinoff urged residents to settle their accounts and assured them that DOASCO's commitment to facilitating debt collections with the assistance of company's personnel. Subsequent meetings are planned for individual hamlets to further discuss these issues and ensure effective follow-up. During the 74th meeting of the OECS Authority, Dr. Didikas Jules, Director General of the OECS Commission, spotlighted Dominica's Eye Care Center as a prime example of excellence within the region. He asserted that such centers often originate from tertiary education institutions in the OECS region, suggesting that various community challenges or that colleges could identify areas of specialization.
In addition to the centers of health that you mentioned, there's also in Dominica a center for eye care, very high specialization, supported by an international foundation. The idea of centers of excellence, I believe, initially emerged around it at the level of tertiary education in the OECS, suggesting that different community colleges would identify areas of specialization that they would want to focus on. I recall that very early on, the BVI, for example, wanted to establish itself as a center for marine and marine studies, given their long seagoing tradition. The idea has been floated around for some time, but we are now moving assiduously to ensure that member states are able to identify very specific areas for the same reasons, the same rationale, that rather than countries duplicate facilities with relatively small populations, we are able to aggregate demand in one particular location and address the need.
Dr. Jules also mentioned that the Commission will persist in promoting the establishment of robust representative groups, such as the newly formed OECS Robotics Association.
Related to the idea of centers of excellence is an effort by the OECS Commission to encourage the formation of strong representative groupings. So, for example, we saw launch the OECS Robotics Association. Now, again, this is very close to the idea of centers of excellence because you have here a group of young persons led by Dr. Neal who have had a passion for robotics, have done extraordinarily well as a national association competing internationally. And so they form the natural nucleus to attract other young people in the OECS to form an OECS association. I think there are now robotics associations in Anguilla and a couple of the other Leeward Islands. So they are moving quickly to do that. And what we do as a commission will be to help blow beneath their wings, to support the initiative and to ensure that these young people, many doors are open for them internationally, not just to compete, but to deepen their studies, opportunities for scholarships in that area, where innovations, like when the Robotics Association was launched, I saw a fascinating piece of software developed by members of the association. It is a software that allows you on a mobile device to book, to see what the ferry schedules is across the OECS.
Dr. Didacus Jules, Director General of the OECS Commission. In other news, Prime Minister Dr. Ralph Gonsalves of St. Vincent and the Grenadines has announced plans to introduce legislation aimed at regulating alcohol consumption during funeral processions and within cemeteries. The announcement was made during a radio broadcast on state-owned NBC Radio on Monday, where Gonsalves revealed that the bill would be presented at the upcoming Parliament meeting scheduled for this Thursday. Expressing concern over the lack of respect observed during such solemn occasions, Gonsalves highlighted instances of individuals consuming alcoholic beverages and engaging in revelry during funeral processions. He emphasized the need to address the behavior, stating that there is a lot of disrespect. It's a terrible thing to see people drinking beer and rum while they're jumping up, as if it's carnival. Gonsalves stressed the urgency of the situation, noting that it had escalated to a point where action was necessary to restore order to funeral processions. In addition to regulating alcohol consumption at funerals, the Prime Minister outlined other legislation priorities, including measures to combat gun and ammunition-related crimes and reforms in court reporting and handling sexual offences. And Alexei Navalny, Russian President Vladimir Putin's most formidable domestic opponent, fell unconscious and died on Friday after a walk at the Polar Wolf Arctic Penal Colony while he was serving a three-decade sentence, authorities said. The death of Navalny, a 47-year-old former lawyer, robs the desperate Russian opposition of its most prominent leader as Putin prepares for an election which keep the former KGB spy in power until at least 2030.
In what may be the final video of Russia's opposition leader Alexei Navalny, he laughed with courtroom staff during an appearance from a penal colony north of the Arctic Circle on Thursday. Russia's prison service reported his death on Friday, saying he felt unwell after a walk at the facility in Kharp, 1,200 miles northeast of Moscow, where he was serving a long jail term. It said the 47-year-old lost consciousness almost immediately, and prison medical staff couldn't. The team behind the former lawyer wrote on X that they were travelling to the prison site, but had no way to confirm the news. Hours later, Navalny's wife, Yulia Navalnaya, walked out to a standing ovation at the Munich Security Conference. She said she could not be sure her husband was dead because Putin and his government lie incessantly.
Но если это правда,
я хочу. But if this is true, I want Putin and all of his entourage, Putin's friends and his government,
его правительство знали,
to know that they will be held accountable for what they have done to our country.
Они сделали с нашей страной,
to my family and to my husband,
и с моим мужем ответственность.
And that day will come very soon.
Очень скоро.
Navalny rose to prominence more than a decade ago by lampooning the elite class around Putin and voicing allegations of corruption on a vast scale. He earned admiration from Russia's disparate opposition for voluntarily returning to Russia in 2021 from Germany. He was being treated there for what Western laboratory tests showed was an attempt to poison him with a nerve agent in Siberia the year before. The Kremlin denied trying to kill him and said there was no evidence he was poisoned with a nerve agent. In St. Petersburg, a makeshift memorial gathered flowers and supporters expressed their shock.
What calmed me down a bit was a thought that if he really died, his death will make his supporters and even people who just liked him a tiny bit stronger.
This resident in Moscow wasn't as surprised.
I believe that the enemy of our country should be dealt with. The sooner the
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Businessman Anderson Jolly warns if Dominica fails to modernize and maintain relevance, the nation will face a significant setbacks and ultimately suffer crippling consequences in the long run.
The Big Station.
St. Vincent and the Grenadines Prime Minister Dr. Ralph Gonzalez announces plans to introduce legislation aimed at regulating alcohol consumption during funeral processions and within cemeteries. And Alexei Navalny, who was the most formidable opponent of Russian President Vladimir Putin, is reported by Russian media to have died on Friday while serving a 40-year jail term in a Russian prison in Serbia.
Right on cue.
The news was brought to you, compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I am Fidis Envalmond.
News as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the Big Station. Q95DA.com.